welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I began yesterday, Receiving Your Double Portion. And we want to examine exactly what this means. What was going on when Elisha asked his master Elijah, as he was being just before he was being taken from him by a fiery chariot into heaven? We want to understand, what was he asking for? Obviously, the words are a double portion, but what does that mean? And it's as you look at the life of Elisha, what he did, he was willing to forsake all when the call of Elijah came to him. He didn't ask for some material blessing. And you know, if the Lord would come to us and ask, what would we want? Just as the Lord did, remember, he appeared to Solomon in a dream and he said, ask what you would have and I will give it to you. And the Lord was pleased with what he requested for wisdom, that he could govern the people of God, Israel, who was a great and a large people. And God was pleased with that. And because he asked for that, he did give him riches and wisdom and blessing that was, you know, exceeded no other king of that time. And so what God is wanting us to understand is that bigger is not necessarily better. That's what some Christians focus on. Elisha's utmost concern was spiritual. And beloved, if we would get that attitude today, the church, we would see the glory of God move in restoration power as never before. And of course, God would give material blessing because that is needed to carry on the ministry and the work of the gospel. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's important. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's Matthew 6:33. And Elisha said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. What was he asking? Elisha wasn't asking for a double amount of blessing or to be twice as successful. You know, that's the mentality of the world, beloved. Bigger has to be better. And so, I'm going to tweak the devil's tail. There may be ministries that are very large. They influence a lot of people. And beloved, only God can judge. Only God knows the heart. But you know them by their fruits. And it's not necessarily material prosperity, we cannot automatically assume that is a sign of spiritual purity and truth as far as the message that they're preaching. That's the error that many of the seeker-friendly churches have gone into. Well, yes, you know, it's the blood of Jesus that we're saved, but they don't really want to talk much about the blood, because actually when you put it just straightforwardly, the gospel of the kingdom, the message of Jesus, really is intellectually offensive. That's why Jesus rejoiced and he said, Lord, I thank thee that not many wise in spirit, not many mighty have understood, but he rejoiced that you revealed it unto babes. That as Paul verified, you know, it's not the weak. He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, the foolish things of the world to confine the things that are wise, and the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so, beloved, while the world looks to how big, how successful, obviously that's where blessing is, that's where we need to go, it's not necessarily the case. There are many missionaries known only to the Lord who have died on foreign fields. And in terms of the actual success, they, you know, you might question, well, you know, what have they to show for their ministry and life's work? God doesn't look at things that way. The church has been birthed in the blood of the martyrs. Unnamed multitudes of those who died in the Colosseum, who were burnt at the stake. They may be insignificant as far as the world is concerned, as far as the history books, but God alone knows what they did in faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. And beloved, that's why I'm sharing this message. It doesn't matter how well-known you are, how significant other people applaud your efforts. It's not that. It's being obedient to the Lord. And so Elisha's concern, you know, actually, he wasn't concerned about, you know, being doubly blessed, if you will. Basically, his heart's desire was to see the power of God manifested. That was his heart's desire. As it turned out, actually, he did twice the miracles that were in the ministry of Elijah. But he was desiring the things of God. He wanted to see God's power displayed. And anyone who preaches, who is in a position of authority, that claims to be a minister, beloved, there's one purpose of the Holy Spirit, and that is to lift up Jesus, to glorify Jesus. And if there's any other motive in operation, beloved, that is not the function of the Holy Spirit. He reveals Jesus. That is his express purpose. And if Jesus is not glorified, beloved, then all I can say is we need to stand by what the Word of God says. But he was asking for a double portion. And we have to understand this in biblical times was the inheritance of the firstborn. And, you know, there's a scripture I want to share before we go into it. You know, in the time of Jesus, Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. But only the poor in spirit had ears to hear. Although, listen to this, in the Gospel of John, were you aware, as the scripture says in verse 42, the 12th chapter of John, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Did you know there were a lot of rulers in the time of the disciples that believed on Jesus? But let me finish the rest of that verse. But, there's a but, because of the Pharisees, they were the ruling elite. They were the spiritual force in terms, if you will, of what was the declaration of the state of Israel at that time, okay? But because of the Pharisees, these rulers who believed on Jesus didn't confess Jesus, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. That's what I was saying. Those that, you know, are willing to compromise the Word of God, oh, well, they love God, sure, and they understand what's in the Bible, but they don't want to offend people, you know. Let's make the gospel a little more palatable. It says in verse 43, and I will make no further comment, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So what Elisha was asking for the privilege of being Elijah's successor was a double portion. It was the inheritance of the firstborn. And, you know, we know there were sometimes exceptions because in the case of Jacob and Esau despised his birthright. He did not see the spiritual calling and significance in it. He despised it. He sold it to Jacob for a mess of pottage. He was hungry, came in from the field, from hunting. And at one point it says in scripture, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why is that such a strong saying? Because Esau had no spiritual discernment. He didn't understand the privilege, and so it was given to the younger. And that double portion for the firstborn was law. And so Elisha actually could ask for it and expect to receive it. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17, the word declares, If a man have two wives, one beloved and the other hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, if the first son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn. In other words, his feelings couldn't enter into it by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So let me share with you an allegory. The two wives represent Israel and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once we were not a people. As Gentiles, we were hated and shunned and despised by the chosen race, if you will, and had no inheritance in relation to the firstborn Israel. But almost 2,000 years ago, there was birthed an ecclesia, a divine living organism in the world called the church. And after the powerful, wonderful day of Pentecost, Peter understood that. Cornelius had a dream, and he went there, and he perceived the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them, just as upon the Gentiles, as upon the Jews. And so even though we see that the Jews did not understand, and they were unwilling until Peter was able to bring forth the truth, they were unwilling to accept the Gentiles, that they saw it was God's plan. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The Lord said, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Let me say clearly, the church does not replace Israel. It is a wonderful, it fills my heart with joy that all the promises to Israel are going to come to pass. She shall be the chief of the nations in the millennial kingdom. God is faithful. All the things he told Abraham are going to be accomplished. But beloved, in the ages to come, the Jew does not have a select position over the Gentile. Why? I'm just quoting scripture. We're all one in Christ Jesus. There's not Jewish believers. There's not Gentile believers. There's neither Jew nor Greek. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And beloved, that's God's plan, and it's a cause to rejoice. Praise God. Well, my time has flown, and we'll continue and conclude on tomorrow's broadcast. The announcer will give our contact information. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.